everybody, and welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. Bonus episode, I guess. We're going to cover
NXT TakeOver War Games.
NXT TakeOver War Games from last night. I am your host, and with me, as always, is my teenage son, Jackson. Say hello.
Hi, I watched Squirrels in My Pants 5 times today.
What is that?
Phineas and Ferb thing. Oh, yeah. That's funny.
It's a good show. It's on Disney Channel. Yeah, Disney, I'm whatever. We have it. Should check it out.
Yeah, I know they had like a Star Wars thing too, and they released a movie on there recently.
So. Nice. Well, it is Monday, and last night was NXT War Games, and we thought again
on a Sunday, which they don't usually
not
do.
Not my favorite.
If they don't have any main roster pay per views, they tend to do that.
I much prefer Saturday nights because then we can for sure stay up and watch it and have the next day off work still. But I really enjoyed the show, so I thought maybe we could talk about it before we had to wait until our weekly show on Saturday, because I'll maybe forget some details. And
then we'll make it go longer than Raw again.
Right, so we're trying to keep the Saturday show not super long, although it doesn't really matter too much, I guess. But I thought we would just
because our millions of fans will listen anyway.
That's right. Our loyal millions and millions of loyal fans. So I thought we'd just get together tonight, head down to the basement, and talk about this for a little bit. So it's not our normal detailed notes. I'm sort of borrowing notes from CBS Sports and then adding a few details of my own, because NXT, especially TakeOvers, I just like to sit down and enjoy, right? I had the laptop open, but I really didn't take too many notes, because...
Yeah, I was just saying maybe the entry orders for War Games, and then any standout spots, which is like a lot of Io Shirai.
Yeah, I had a few notes here and there, but...
not to spoil too much.
Nothing crazy, because TakeOvers are generally, I normally say, my favorite thing in wrestling, right? They're the events I get most excited for. They almost never disappoint.
Even when the builds aren't great.
This would be Exhibit A for that, I think, right? I mean, the show was excellent. That's part of why I wanted to do that.
There's only been like a couple takeovers I can remember that were bad or that I didn't like.
Yep, this one was... We'll get into it right now, I guess. So the show starts with the Women's War Games match.
No shocker, considering last year's was also the opener, so...
Oh, yeah, was it? I didn't remember. So this one started, Shotzi Blackheart, of course, debuting her new and improved tank. Did you have any comments on it?
This is dumb. Why? It's
significantly larger, has a big skull on the front.
It has TCB on it for some reason.
Fires, has a working gun, I guess, that fires,
because
I don't know what it was.
Because her new besties, Rhea and Ember, got her a dope new engine thing.
Do you think they got her the engine, they got her the skull, they got her the gun? Because we never
they
got
her something. Yeah, she had a lame gun on it. It was like poop.
So the tank comes out, but Ember Moon and Dakota Kai are going to start the match,
which
I thought
wise.
A great choice. They seem to have really good chemistry together.
I would have done that, or I would have chosen Io. But I think I was mad when they put Io... very last but it actually turned out really well.
It did.
As we'll talk about.
So Blackheart brings an entire toolbox to the ring, and
which
then remember she
and then like she hardly uses it,
right? It disappears for quite a while
until
anyways.
She brings out a super small hammer.
Gonzalez gave the heels the momentum with her size, and Ripley came in to reverse it. Ripley's brutalized Kai with weapons and then brawled with Gonzalez. Tony Storm then enters with kendo sticks to sort of even things out. This was the low point for me in the match.
Yeah, and this is weird because the faces have the advantage here, which is always kind of weird.
And I don't want to say the low point because I'm picking on Toni Storm. It's just this is when it stopped being wrestling for a little bit and started being just people getting hit with kendo sticks over and over again, right? So for me, there was a bit of a lull.
And also because it was Toni Storm.
At this part. But then it picks up again, believe me. Mm-hmm. So Shirai and Lerae were the last two to enter, and Shirai slid two ladders in. But she kept being sort of denied.
Really, there's two ladders?
Entry by Gonzalez. I think she shoved two in, and Gonzalez kept
one.
Maybe slamming the doors on her and not letting her
in.
Yeah,
which is funny.
Yeah,
and she kept getting like booted out, and
so then Indy Hartwell shows up in a neck brace and attacks Shirai from behind, outside the ring. Io still hasn't gotten in at this point, and then locked the cage door. Shirai soon appeared on top of the cage, sort of very cool. Suddenly, she's just standing on top of the cage. And this is insane. She puts a garbage can over her head and body and jumps off of the top of the cage.
That seems
onto
like a Darby Allin thing to do now.
It was. And sure, there's people under there, and I'll always talk about how it looked choreographed. This is a little different because it's off a cage and you're inside a trash can, not able to see anything. So she's nuts. It was very cool.
for the people catching her, it might be a little more difficult catching a metal.
Good point.
A person like a metal tube.
A metal, yes, a person in a metal tube basically flying at you. Right. So very impressive spot for sure. She then hits a moonsault on Gonzalez, but the heels break the fall, and Kai puts a trash can around Shirai and basically from the top rope double stomps her, and it dents the can so severely that they really can't get Io out of it.
Yeah, she struggles to get Io out, which I think it's like, it's almost more realistic with that because...
I liked it.
Right. It'd be like, if you're really stomping on them, you'd do it hard, right? And then they would be stuck like that. So I almost like that as a bit of realism there.
Yeah, I just can't imagine being Io. We talked about this and just waiting for this to happen because you can't see anything. You're inside a trash can. You just know that a person is going to jump and kick the thing as hard as they can. And you're just kind of waiting for it, which would be interesting. So she was willing to do anything in this match, it seemed like. So Moon hits a crazy looking eclipse on Dakota Kai as she's standing sort of behind chairs.
It was on the chairs, right?
Yeah, on the chairs were set up, right? And she ends up getting eclipsed right onto them. It looked awesome. Storm follows with the storm.
At first I was confused, honestly, but then they replayed it and I was like...
A little more clear.
Right.
Storm followed with a Storm Zero to Moon through a trash can. It wasn't the best pickup I've ever seen, but it was okay, I guess. Blackheart then placed LeRae between two chairs and flies off the ladder with a senton, but could not recover for the fall. After some more back and forth, Gonzalez caught Shirai between the two rings. This was insane. And she hits her one-handed choke slam, power bomb through a ladder propped between the ring and the ropes.
Yeah, so not only is this from the ropes, it's through a ladder and also on that metal grating bit that connects the ring.
After she's already jumped off the top of a cage with a trash can. Taking a stomp in a trash can.
And did like a bunch. She did like drop kicks into like chairs on people. Yeah. There's like a really cool springboard drop kick scene on her. Like a lot of cool like drop kick stuff. And then this was.
There's no way to fake this. She just gets power bombed through a ladder. Basically, it was crazy. And that was the final spot for the win. So the heels win this. Which,
and also Gonzalez getting a pin on the champ. Like,
I think
that's pretty cool.
It looks like it's going to be Gonzalez Shirai at some point, right?
I'd like Kai to win the belt, but I think this will at least give Gonzalez more experience because I don't think she'll win.
I feel like they're going to Gonzalez next, and that maybe she even beats Shirai, which would be obviously crazy to
which
think now.
Which would actually be much like Diesel and Shawn Michaels. Right. Because Diesel did win the WWE title first.
So we'll see. I thought this was an amazing match. I just wish,
Blackheart wasn't in it?
No, if the stakes had been higher or it felt like it mattered more, right? Because we were saying
whoever
like the build
Dio
to these,
gets a title shot.
The build to most of the stuff on this night was not great, but the actual tonight was awesome. So imagine if they had just built a story for us to care about, right? The beginning with Moon and Kai, I thought was really good, and there was only a brief lull there when the kendo sticks sort of came out. And then once Io got involved, the action picked back up with lots of great
even
action.
Like more than when it started.
Crazy spots. All of them worked their butts off and put on an amazing opener, I thought. I just wish the story leading up to it had been stronger just to take this amazing match even further.
Mm-hmm.
This was my match of the night at the risk of I'm not ruining anything else in the show. My match of the night by a decent margin. And I think Io is probably the best wrestler in the world, period, at this point.
And AEW's got some.
And this is a match of the year candidate for me. We were, we'll get to that later, but I think I would put this on my short list of my favorite matches this year. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I thought it was really good. I like Gonzalez getting the win, really establishing a new star here. Io Shirai was the MVP of this match.
Unbelievable.
Just from start to finish, she was doing insane things just the whole time. Check out this match. Shotzi Blackheart, thankfully, did not do a ton, so I'm very happy about that. I can say the same for Toni Storm.
Yep.
But what was good in this match is what really shined, which was like Shirai, Kai, Gonzalez, and even Ember Moon did
Ember
some
Moon
good
looked
stuff.
Good, I agree.
And good weapon use as well. Lots of good weapon use, I'll say, with the eclipse, the trash can stuff, and then the ladder spot.
But
at
I
the
still
end.
Feel like we got lots of wrestling too, right?
Right.
Like,
it wasn't
just
all
weapons
in a cage.
Yeah.
Right, so, but overall it was really good. I agree, match of the year candidate right here at the tail end of what is the worst year in human history.
Hasn't been great.
No.
This is true.
But Io Shirai is definitely, I don't know if I'd say she's the best because there's definitely a lot of contenders in that argument, but she
for
is
sure.
One of the best. She's definitely up there without a doubt. And definitely NXT's top women's superstar, and I honestly don't want her to go to the main roster because
ever
I keep her would there fear forever. For her. Honestly.
Absolutely. All right, so we head into a very brief Finn Balor pre-taped promo saying the time for team sports is over and all eyes will return to him and the NXT championship beginning on Wednesday's NXT television show. So I guess just saying he's back. I don't know if he's cleared
to... This is just, I think, kind of reminding us that he's here.
I'm not sure if he's wrestling or just appearing. They didn't really specify, I don't think. Just really quick so we don't forget about him, and or maybe the fact that it is a major pay-per-view. So by the way, here's our champion, right? Because there is no champion on the show tonight. Mm-hmm. Next match, we get Tommaso Ciampa versus Timothy Thatcher. This was a really brutal physical match, I thought. Whereas we talk about on this show, right, they must have made an agreement kind of before to just really hit each other for most of this match. The chops and the slaps and the forearms and things were very stiff. So it was definitely a lot slower and methodical than the first match. A different style, and they focused on mat wrestling and strikes a lot. And Ciampa went on a run with a superplex that nearly took Thatcher out with a chokehold, but Thatcher escaped with a German suplex. Ciampa stomped Thatcher relentlessly while stuck between the ropes and caught him with a brutal, brutal looking, really good, we watched it twice, I think, Willow's Bell after locking in a guillotine for the win. And somewhere along this line, worth noting, Thatcher's ear got ripped open and he was bleeding really badly from the ear.
Yep.
I imagine it was one of the legit slaps that they were doing that maybe just popped his, because he has cauliflower ears, I'm sure, probably just ruptured it and had some blood. It looked actually really cool. What did you think of this one?
I thought it was a little boring, but it picked up, and
I agree.
There was some just hard hitting back and forth moments here, and the Willow's Bell was, well, I'm kind of disappointed he didn't use either of his actual finishers. It did look pretty good, so
it did.
I'll take what I can get. And I think this is Thatcher's thing, and looking at what you've written, I think you thought a similar thing, is like, he doesn't exactly win on TakeOver a lot,
no.
I noticed.
That's
lost,
my
I
fear.
Think, Balor, I think it was. And what else was he in? He was in something else, too, and like, he's just been in like a lot of matches. He's always like present at TakeOver, but it's like...
Good enough to win on TV, but not quite good enough to
right.
win at TakeOver.
And he's not even in like a big match either. It's just like...
No.
It's a decent match. It's not like he's in like... some dinky little match that doesn't matter. It's like, but he's never in like the big matches. I can't remember if he's ever been in even a title match. So
yeah, I don't know if most people like him as much as we do. So I'm hoping he's not stuck in this spot where he's the like gatekeeper to the main event sort of thing, right? If you
yeah,
beat...
but when is people not liking someone ever stopped WWE?
It's true. I enjoy him. He's different for sure, right? So
yeah.
Yeah, I thought this match was brutal, really physical. The last half, I agree, was much better than the first. But honestly, I thought they had a tough act to follow after that women's match. And it's just such a drastic change in energy level, right? Between just things happening at a crazy pace and intense violence. And then this was more of grappling, striking sort of thing. So it was very different. A good match, but not a standout takeover match. And as
Agreed.
We said, I worry about Thatcher's position on the card and what his role is.
I think that's fair.
Yep. So next we come to the match I might have been looking forward to the least, if I'm being honest. I don't know. I love Cameron Grimes, I have to say. Dexter Lumis versus Cameron Grimes in a strap
but
match.
I kind of feared for him, as this was probably going to be WWE dumb stuff.
You're not a Lumis fan, I think we could say.
Well, not just that, but I know how they've been, based on how they've been booking Grimes lately.
Yes, he's been
also that.
People that listen to us know we're not thrilled when he's strictly a comedy character. He's, I think, too good
and
for that.
And this is Lumis' second strap match in a year, which I think is kind of ridiculous. And it's our third overall.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So we had Fiend and Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble, which I actually enjoyed. And then Lumis and
it.
Roderick Strong was fine.
Yeah,
great
it
American
was fine.
Bash. And then we have this.
I
don't think we need this many strap matches.
It's not my favorite stipulation, for sure.
It's not the most popular stipulation. It's not even bad, but it's like, it's only one necessary. And it's like, I think it's just like, oh, guy afraid of Lumis, put him in a strap match.
At least for this one, it kind of made sense because it's been him running and running and running away, right? So at
yeah,
least I kind of get it.
But then the Roderick Strong one was Dexter Lumis putting him in a trunk.
And as we'll get to, I think this was pretty well executed, actually.
It was all right.
Yeah, so Grimes attacked Lumis at the start. After refusing to use the provided strap, he sort of opted for the one that he brought himself.
Which I find confusing, but that's probably just Cameron Grimes
just, yeah,
being
I think,
Cameron Grimes.
I think so. Grimes uses the strap to fling Loomis over the barricade and back, with Grimes actually holding the advantage for a while near the beginning. Loomis eventually beats Grimes with the strap, but Grimes comes back with chair shots. Grimes hits the move that doesn't have a name, the Spanish fly style crossbody thing. And he looked like he was going to sort of hit his finisher, but Loomis countered the cave-in and used the strap to trip Grimes face first into a chair, which actually looked pretty good. And it's not the easiest thing to pull off. You got to make sure it gets wrapped around his feet as they're doing that little bit there, and then actually have him fall face first into the chair. It looked pretty good, I thought. So then he locks in his silence chokehold for the win, and that was basically it. What did you think, sir?
I didn't have high expectations. I had pretty low expectations, and I think those expectations were hardly even met. I just really didn't care about this
match.
You were
not into this. I was going to say, when I was watching you watch the show, because I was sort of sitting behind you, I can tell you were really into the opener and the main event, and then everything else you were just kind of getting through.
Yeah, I really didn't like this match. I've never been a fan of strap matches too much, but I did enjoy the one at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But this was really just, Cameron Grimes' comedy stuff that they've been making him do has just really soured me on anything involving this storyline, and this just wasn't super good, so it just, I don't know, just trying to get by with this, agreed.
I thought it was surprisingly good, and the way I looked at it, it was like an excellent TV main event, right? Like, if this were the main event of NXT, I'd probably be pretty happy with it.
Then I'd also be angry because then they'd be doing weird booking still.
But on a pay-per-view, on a takeover, it's just another good match. Like, I'm not saying it was bad. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And considering the match type, right, which I'm not a fan of strap matches, I was pleasantly surprised. And I'm happy for Grimes. I thought he was really on display here. Like, even just the way he carries himself and the things he says when he's in the ring and his mannerisms and stuff, I think he's like an excellent professional wrestler, if you know what I mean. He's got all the little things going for him as well. So I don't think the loss hurts him too much. And again, we're just hoping he doesn't get pegged as a comedy performer and that they realize that he can do more than that, because I think he can. I think he's an excellent, excellent mid-card, lower main card sort of heel. And I think he can do that for a long time.
I agree.
And Loomis, honestly, he continues to improve, I think. And he's capable, at least, and maybe even a little better than that, because I was sort of skeptical on his in-ring abilities, to be honest. But
I always was.
This has been a bunch of matches in a row where I thought he's been totally fine. And again, this match probably suits his style because it slows it down.
He's fine.
Slows it down a little bit. But I'm open to seeing him in more high-profile matches to see what he can do. I thought this match was good.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
Yeah. So then we get sort of, we're let in that Karrion Kross's return is coming up in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I saw Vulture, I was like, Karrion Kross, and then you said TikTok, I'm just like, yep.
Yeah, I was hoping it was Raven, but no, I was wrong.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, just a little vignette with a Vulture perched waiting to strike, and then all we hear is TikTok. I think that's a good thing, right? He's not NXT style in the ring necessarily, but he's a star. And that entrance and that presentation with, forgetting her name already.
Scarlett Bordeaux.
Thank you. They're just mega stars, right? So it helps NXT to have more star power. So I'll be glad to have him back.
Indeed.
Even if his matches, if he's not Gargano in the ring, you know what I mean? He's still, can still put on a good match. We've seen him put on good matches before. So
yep.
Bring him back. The next was the letdown for me. I just couldn't get into this match. I don't know what it was about it. The North American Championship triple threat between Leon Ruff, Damian Priest, and Johnny Gargano. Priest tries to convince Ruff not to get in his way early in the match, and this was sort of the theme. Like, Priest
still
is basically treating
him
like a joke and saying, just get out of the way and let us fight, sort of thing, right? Like, you don't even have a chance, just get out of the way and let the men battle, sort of thing. So Ruff and Gargano team up early to try and take out Priest, but Gargano sort of outsmarted both of them eventually. Remember, he tells Ruff to go run and get ready for a suicide dive, and then he attacks him.
That was really funny.
Slingshot
got him with a really
spears
good
him.
One.
Yeah, that was a good spot.
It was funny, though. It was just really clever. I thought I liked it.
Yep. I don't know. I'm going to skip down a whole bunch because, again, I didn't love this. Priest took out Gargano near the end. Ruff was spinning kicks. But as he was about to beat Gargano with the Reckoning, another ghost face.
There was many ghost faces.
Yeah, sorry. Just before this, he had fought off, half a dozen or more on his own. He had two diving things over the ring post to take out three or four on each side, I guess it was.
He was on a roll, I'll say.
So yeah, it looks like he's taken them all out. He's back in the ring. He kicks the heads off both of them, kind of. It looks like he's about to hit the Reckoning, and another ghost face comes in and hits him in the back with what looks like the classic WWE lead pipe, right? Mm-hmm. So Gargano rolls through a pinning combination, then caught Ruff with the one final beat and picks up the win. And the big reveal at the end, surprise, surprise, we've only been saying it for how many weeks now? That Austin Theory is revealed as Ghostface.
I was very pleased.
As we all expected, sort of thing.
Yeah, and I was honestly like, I think I predicted this, right? I think it was. I did, right?
I have it at the end somewhere.
Yeah, because I think the only one I predicted wrong is the men's War Games.
Yes.
And so I, even though I predicted it, I was, because I figured Ghostface, which I was right, and but I was still surprised that he won, because he's a three-time champion now.
Yeah.
And the North American title's only been around for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, we both picked this one correctly.
So, but even though I picked it, I was still a little surprised, but also pleasantly surprised.
There was just something about this match. There was lots of action, obviously. I just couldn't get into it. I found the end with all the interference and the distractions and things hurt it even more. It was my least favorite match on the card, but it still wasn't a bad match. Like, if I were grading it out, it's still like a B match, you know what I mean? And it was probably my least favorite thing on the card. So that's a pretty good sign. It was a good pay-per-view, I guess. But not my favorite. Then we're moving into the main event, which was the men's War Games match, Undisputed Era versus, we call them the Brand. So that's Pat McAfee, Peter Dunne. What are you listening to?
I don't know. Sorry.
Lorcan and Birch. This match was pretty insane. Dunn and O'Reilly started, and I'd have to say...
I have to say I was badass. Dunn looked throughout.
He looked incredible. He and Kyle O'Reilly could wrestle forever, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I was talking about Kai and Ember Moon, right? The chemistry is just there. They seem to work really well together. Loved it. Lorcan was in next, followed by Bobby Fish, and the action starts to pick up with a ton of double teaming now. Birch brings a couple of cricket bats to the ring that I thought looked pretty fake, but I guess it didn't bother. They didn't look real to me. They looked like they were really light or almost foam or something. Anyways, it gave them an advantage, but Roderick Strong comes in and he's a one-man wrecking crew, taking out all three opponents with suplexes and strikes.
And backbreakers.
McAfee. Yes, always. McAfee, on his way in, pulls out a table for each member of the Undisputed Era. Like,
which I thought was classic cocky Pat McAfee-ness.
Labeled with their names on it, and I thought this took way too long for him to pull out these four tables and slide it in, and the camera's focused on him the entire time while there could have been things going on in the ring. Anyways.
It's like, it reminds me of something like, do you remember Hell in a Cell 2018?
No.
Strowman versus Reigns, do you remember?
I do not.
When Strowman's heel turn.
Refresh me.
So they went through a table, right? And then so Ziggler and McIntyre tried to run interference, and then they brawled with Ambrose and Rollins. And then so Ziggler and Rollins are both climbing the side of the cell, right? And then they do that bump where they both go through the announce tables.
Oh, yeah.
But then you just see Roman and Strowman are just lying there the whole time, right? They're just doing nothing because they know the camera's not focused on them.
Right.
They ain't doing anything.
They're just hanging out.
So it's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
It reminded me of something like that. There was a thing later on where it was just like, was it Cole and McAfee or O'Reilly and Dunn or something? There's two guys, and then like you just see, I can just see in the corner of my eye a bunch of guys just lying in the other ring.
Just hanging out,
right?
Waiting for the camera to turn.
Right.
Adam Cole blinded the heels with a fire extinguisher. This is becoming a bit too frequent for me with the fire. I feel like it's every other week right now. Anyways, took them out, then countered Dunn's bitter end with a DDT.
Which always looks cool because Dunn sells it like a champ.
He does.
I seem to recall Tyler Bate doing this particular reversal.
I miss Tyler Bate.
And yeah, me too. And Dunn just sells it like a champ. He's one of those guys like Murphy and Rollins, and you always
RVD back in the day. You knew it was coming, didn't you?
Those kind of guys who can just sell a DDT.
Yep, absolutely.
They just know what to do. Just sometimes the way they do it. Yeah, he sold this really well.
Cole drilled McAfee with the chair, and then basically everyone starts brawling. McAfee took out Cole's knee and put him in a figure four as the other six men were fighting. The remaining three tables are all set up, and Cole and Dunn are sort of fighting each other. Undisputed Era powerbomb Dunn into Burt's through the table labeled for Cole, but it did not break at all.
Yeah,
so,
and I noticed something weird with these tables, because so there's this, and then they also just sounded different when they broke, and they're also black.
I feel like they broke really cleanly too.
Right, like almost
not splinters
clean.
Or anything, just kind of like very
clean.
Yeah,
that was part of it. So I'm almost wondering these aren't like wood, but they're like, I don't know.
Clearly maybe not plywood. Very well gimmicked, because this one did not want to break.
No, not this one, because wouldn't plywood break easier than this?
Yes. So Roddy climbs up quickly because he sees obviously this table was supposed to break. So
it's
he
like, it's two guys going through a table. Come on.
So he climbs up and splashes through both of them, basically.
But what I think the cause of them not going through it might have been because they powerbombed Dunn from like the middle thing and they had to get him over the ropes.
Yeah.
So that might have been hard. I think they should have powerbombed them off the turnbuckles and then they would have gotten the height for it.
Probably would have helped.
But whatever.
I've seen it described as Cole throwing McAfee off the ropes halfway across the ring.
Oh my god,
It was more of a push and McAfee jumping. It still looked good, but I'm hearing it described as like McAfee's a natural and when Cole threw him off the ropes. And did you watch it? Like,
I know. He literally looked good. He shoved him a bit and then McAfee just took a free fall. Like,
yeah,
this
he just
was a Nesty table...
plunged it back
yeah,
onto the...
Yeah, this was a tables match. He looked like an idiot.
And full marks for doing it, because I'm not going to do that, but it wasn't the greatest spot of all time, as I've sort of heard already today. I was reading stuff today, and it was annoying me.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like if Darby Allin just took a free fall instead of doing the coffin drop, but then missed, and just like, I don't know, he just jumped way too far.
It was cool. He went through a table. It looked good.
It did, but like it looked very fake.
Some of the recounts I've heard don't seem accurate.
Looks very fake, at least.
Undisputed Era took shots at the other heels, brutalizing them between the ropes and the cage. McAfee tries to escape, but the Undisputed Era take turns attacking him. Cole hits Dunn with a flying neckbreaker and Strong nails a superplex on McAfee with all
the
eight guys are down.
The neckbreaker did look cool.
It did look cool. There's so much cool. This... Near the end, when it started to pick up, there was so much stuff going on. McAfee tries to escape, but the Undisputed Era are attacking her. Sorry, I just read that part. McAfee climbed the cage and hit a flying senton off the top, taking out the other seven people. But even though they were all under there, he still landed pretty hard, right? Like, we looked at this again, too. He was not caught very well by the people underneath him. But still, he's clearly willing to try anything, right? So good for him. Full marks for trying. Dunn hit O'Reilly with the bitter end for the first near fall of the match with the last second kick out. O'Reilly responds with a superplex on the steel between the rings for a near fall of his own. O'Reilly went to finish Dunn, but McAfee took him out with a chair shot. McAfee hits a low blow to Cole as he goes for a chair shot, but Cole dodged the punt that followed. Thank goodness, because that is the deadly, you know, that kick. Kick to the chest you love
the
so
kick
much
kick to the chest yeah you know when they go for the back body drop but then the other person counters there with
that's
kick
what
to
it
the
is.
Chest that could be a match ender there right that,
absolutely
you know what I'm saying?
Well because like, he's a professional punter that leg is so strong Fish speared Birch through the strong labeled table that was sort of set up between
again,
the rings.
Again, these tables just are very weird.
Breaks perfectly. And McAfee hits a super kick. McAfee tries a Panama Sunrise on Cole, but Cole
catches... Which I find very disrespectful.
I thought there was something else disrespectful to this Panama Sunrise coming up, but we'll get there. Cole matches him with a super kick. Cole then hits his own Panama Sunrise only for McAfee to kick out,
which
I was
also
annoyed.
Also disrespectful.
This is a non-wrestler kicking out of this move.
I mean, freaking destroyer.
Non-wrestler might be too strong, but he's a new wrestler, and this move, I feel like
I'd call him a non-wrestler.
I feel like this move should be protected a little bit, and I did not enjoy him kicking out of it.
I would be even more pissed if he did the Panama Sunrise last shot combo, because that's protected. That's how he won the NXT title.
Well, and this guy's already fallen off cages through a table, and he's still kicking out of the panel.
Right.
Anyways. Lorcan ends up sacrificing...
I would have accepted a breakup, because obviously that's just them
that would be different.
Protecting their
100%
teammate.
Different.
This was him kicking out of Cole's... one of Cole's patented finishers.
After...
And a sick looking
one. A couple giant spots before that. Right.
Right.
So Lorcan ends up sacrificing himself for McAfee and takes the last shot as he shoves McAfee out of the way at the last second. Then Dunn comes to his senses and hits the... This looked awesome, I thought. Hits the bitter end on Cole to a standing chair.
It's wise to hit on Cole because he's an insane selling machine.
I don't know how this didn't actually hurt his ribs, chest, whatever he dropped across there. It looked really, really good. But Strong broke up the pin here and hits... His incredible, power bomb into the backbreaker
Suplex
thing.
Backbreaker, end of heartache.
Yes, that looked amazing there. So Undisputed Era team up to take out Lorcan, with the high-low finisher. And I think, wasn't the chair in front of his face? And then the chair ends up on his face.
I don't know, we missed the ending.
I went and watched it today.
Oh, you didn't tell me.
Sorry. Let me just finish the match and then we'll talk about our frustration with the WWE Network again. So basically, they do the high-low finisher, and I think the high part had the chair in front of his face. And then it ends up with O'Reilly hitting a knee drop from the top rope with the chair over Lorcan's face for the pinfall victory.
Interesting.
So, yes, when we were watching it, we record it. So we have the WWE Network, and it also plays as a cable channel here in Canada. I don't know if this is the same everywhere.
Probably does. But...
So we record it on our like cable, and we add as much as we can to the end of it, which was only half an hour, and this went just past that. So we ended up getting cut off right before
the finish of the main event. I think we should have been able to do an hour, but whatever.
So I went and found it online today. Sorry. You said you got spoiled on it, so I just went and watched it.
Yeah, but I didn't know how it happened.
Oh, sorry. Well, now you know. Live on the air.
Yeah.
So what did you think of this, sir?
I thought that both of the War Games matches were really well done for the lack of
build
excitement.
Right.
This one actually did have a ton of build, but it just soured out towards the match.
Yeah, there was build. Good. It doesn't mean it was...
It just soured out a bit.
It was honestly like we talked about this week. Like, there was a build and then just a plateau, right? They built the very beginning and then they just sort of stopped.
Let it ride.
And imagine, like, I was thinking this too. If this had the build that the old NXT stuff used to have, the storytelling in that of like vintage whatever,
this would be an all-timer.
I was just gonna say this would be an all-time,
and the women's one,
because both of these War Games matches were fantastic. I thought the women's one was,
but part of wrestling quite a bit isn't better, just but... the match, right?
Yeah, so of
that's
course all,
that's partly why, right? So,
and it pushes those matches from being, you know, like an A to an A plus if I really, really cared about it coming in too, or there was some sort of stakes to it or something. They would be A plus matches for me.
Yeah, or like good to great to like legendary, right?
So yeah, I thought this match was
yeah.
excellent, exceeded my expectations. The finishing sequence was really cool, I thought, once I finally got to see it. Again, everybody worked incredibly hard, and I did think that Lorcan and Birch felt a little bit out of place in a War Games match already. I mean, I'm really open to them as a heel tag team and even as
but
the champions.
They are relatively new to big star treatment.
Right, and it's clear that they're kind of there, I think, because...
But I think Dunn as a heel felt right at home.
Yep, I think those guys are there partly because of injuries to people, right? So maybe this wasn't the original plan to have Lorcan and Birch.
Maybe it was Holland and someone else.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was just a minor note. I still think they did a really good job, and it was a really good match to end what I thought was another excellent takeover, despite... the lack of build and lack of anticipation for it.
Yeah, this is the thing that happens a lot when there's not exciting builds. They usually end up pulling out good matches, so it's at least the enjoyable in-ring action. So.
Well, and I think that's different than the main roster, because at least at NXT, when the storylines and things aren't that interesting, they're still allowed to like kill it in a match, you know what I mean? Whereas I feel like there's sort of... limited it, the style
the
they work in the main
roster.
The storyline
isn't interesting on the main roster, then it's like...
There's not a match to save it.
Right.
Right? The odd time there is. I shouldn't say there's never... And there are people up and down
for
that
the
roster.
Most part, we're talking generally.
But there's people up and down that roster capable of having those matches. It's just they're not allowed or whatever the reason is, right? Because we've seen them do it a lot of them at NXT. There's just... There's a different style of wrestling that they get to, especially on the takeover, so that even if, yeah, the build isn't great, I can still just, as a wrestling fan, go, that match was awesome. Like, I don't care what the build was going into that women's War Game match. That's an awesome match, right? Like,
it just would have been nice to have that build.
Of course, it would have pushed it to that next level. So I would say this is another really strong takeover.
If you got the network, go watch it if you haven't already. If you didn't watch it last night, I don't know what you were doing.
Yep, the only way it could have been stronger was having more stories going into it. So none of the matches on the show would have been below a B rating for me, the North American title being my least favorite, but it was still at least
I still
good.
Enjoyed it, and I thought the ending was smart. Yep. Like I enjoyed it.
So there's no doubt, I think you would agree with me, that NXT TV is in a bit of a lull right now, but when it comes to TakeOver, they still deliver, right? I gave this show overall.
And it's also because, just before you do that, they do so few that, like, they have so much time to actually build to a quality show, whereas we get a main roster pay-per-view, like, every month.
Yeah, we don't have takeover fatigue, right?
And,
like, it's not
and,
constant.
Yeah, and, like, the main roster ones don't always stand out. Like, only WrestleMania would, usually, and the Royal Rumble, maybe.
Yeah.
But... only the Royal Rumble was held in the big venue, right? Because WrestleMania was literally the opposite of that. But, like, Survivor Series really stood out last year because, well, NXT, so... But anyways, my point is, TakeOvers always feel special because there's only, like, five a year, usually.
They do. I worry about War Games. I mean, clearly did a good job here, but I worry about War Games becoming sort of feeling like Survivor Series, where it's coming, so we're going to get those matches, right?
Or yeah, maybe more, yeah, like Hell in a Cell or Elimination Chamber or TLC.
Where you're building a feud to fit the match rather than the match.
Which I think it's already become that, because think about it, Undisputed has been on all of them.
Yes.
So,
and they're now the new Four Horsemen.
I guess. Oh, right? Yeah. I liked the first one. I think I've said this before, when it's 3v3v3.
Yeah.
Rather than just a glorified two-ring eight-man tag, but these are still good.
So I gave this show an A-. My only...
I'd probably have to agree with that.
My only complaint would have been the North American title match. I didn't love it.
My only complaint was the strap match.
And my other complaint was that it was a bit long, but when you have two full War Games matches on one card, that's going to happen, right? I mean, it could have been... Because they're known for being like 2.5 hours and we're out. And I don't know how long that one ran, but it clearly we scheduled an extra half hour and it still went over that. So.
Yeah, and I was a little disappointed with the lack of title matches here, but...
Yeah, we did get a title change, I guess.
This is what we tend to get on these War Game shows, because they sometimes the roster is so thin, at least credible stars who are ready for these matches.
Yeah.
So they do got put in the champions, right?
And so. Balor's hurt, so, and Io's in there, right? So mm-hmm. The tag team champs are in.
But with that last year, at least Cole was defending the title against Pete Dunne the next night at Survivor Series, but...
That's true.
I mean, whatever. So it was still a good show.
In our prediction contest between the two of us, you won.
Just who won? Yeah.
You won this week.
Let's go. Say it again.
Predicted Loomis correctly, uh-huh. Ciampa correctly. Yep. Team Gargano correctly and
Team LeRae
and Gargano winning his match.
Error wrong.
You got the men's War Games wrong.
The one time I root against Undisputed Era, that's when they win.
And I talked you into it, I think, too. Well, not talked you into it. You just listened to me. That's your own fault.
Damn you.
I chose Shotzi, which was incorrect, but I chose Gargano, Ciampa were correct. So I did not do very well. So you win that one for sure.
Heck yes, I do.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up, eh, buddy?
Yep.
We got it
and
done.
And I do have something that we are.
Oh, yeah, you wanted
to
make a bit of an announcement just for plans for another bonus podcast.
Towards the end of the year or beginning of the year. We are going to be doing the first ever and hopefully soon to be annual FNS Wrestling Year End Awards. And the one I'm currently planning is the Best of Awards. So the awards I do have lined up so far, we might add a couple more, but we've got. AEW Male Wrestler of the Year. We are going to be focusing on the shows that we actually watch.
The ones that
so we
got
AEW and NXT Male Wrestler of the Year. And the overall Male Wrestler of the Year, which we will pick between the two we picked from like the both brands.
Yep.
Then we got the same for female wrestlers. So we got AEW, NXT, and overall. Then we got same for tag teams and AEW, NXT, overall. We got AEW Match of the Year, NXT Match of the Year, and then overall Match of the Year. But then we have an interesting one, which Dad said that would be a good idea. We got Cinematch of the Year,
yep.
And then we had this one in mind, and I came up with a bit of a name for it, Mike Man of the Year. So that would be promos and whatnot.
Yep.
Then we got Feud of the Year, which would be like a rivalry that spanned at least multiple matches.
Yep.
We'll say. Or like one or two at least, or... It has some build. We'll kind of try to clarify maybe what qualifies for a feud, but we'll talk.
It'll
about
just
that
feel right. We'll know what's a feud if it's a feud. Don't worry.
We got most improved wrestler of the year. So like someone who's wasn't great at the beginning of the year or like didn't wrestle much at the beginning of the year, like Orange Cassidy for example, or like someone we didn't like that we ended up liking. Yep. You know, I might even put Pat McAfee in there actually. I mean, we could.
Yeah.
Although wrestling isn't exactly where he improved. But anyways, then we got Breakout Star of the Year, someone who's like had potential and is really like putting that to use, I would say. Someone like Darby Allin, maybe.
Yeah, someone whose profile has
Kyle O'Reilly even as improved. Of late, right? Like, or Raquel Gonzalez. Those are some of our nominees that we've had. And then the last one for now is Faction of the Year.
Yep.
And if we only have Undisputed Era, Inner Circle, Death Triangle, and the Elite. So if anybody has any more suggestions for Faction of the Year, please contact us. Instagram is at FNS_Wrestling_podcast. Wow, I messed it up.
Or
and then our Gmail is
FNSWrestling@gmail.com. Send us any ideas, any nominations, any votes you want to make.
If, yeah, if you want nominations, we can put them in.
Absolutely. So we'll be working on that. Yeah. I think it may be just in the new year or just before.
Yeah. We put in, if you want a category for us to put in for this, because I think I'll add a couple more. And then if you want any different ones for worst of the year, which we will also do.
There is a plan for that, yes.
Yep. And then also, if you want to nominate anyone, then please do that as well. So contact us, reach out.
Yep. And I think that will bring us to the end of this bonus episode.
What are we at for time?
40 minutes.
Oh, not bad.
Right? I told you it'd be 30 or 40 minutes generally.
Yep.
So and thanks everybody for...
SummerSlam 2002 after.
Yeah, we can do that. That's what you want to do.
Retro pay-per-view.
Get a snack, watch some SummerSlam 2002 in a cold basement. Let's do it. All right, folks. Well, thank you very much for joining us if you did. And we will be back here on Saturday for another full show. We just thought we really enjoyed this pay-per-view. We'd do
much
a bonus
like a
podcast.
Full gear.
So hope everyone has a great week and we will see you on Saturday. Take care.
Peace out.